We were on a strike mission after trucks and trying to stop them from delivering supplies down to South Vietnam. And on my last pass, as I pulled off from a strafing pass, the 37s got me twice. Evidently, they saw the tail off the airplane. My wingman said that when I bailed out, I was on fire. I had no more elevator or rudder control, and the airplane was starting to go into a dive. So at 4,000 feet, I decided to eject, and that's exactly what I did.
The voice you are hearing is that of Major Petter B. Lee, an A-1 Sky Raider fighter pilot with the 1st Special Operations Squadron stationed in Southeast Asia. While flying his last mission in interdicting enemy supply routes, he was shot down and spent nearly 18 hours in hostile enemy territory. This is his story, the mission that saved Major Petter Lee's life. On July 28, 1970, Sandy A-1 support aircraft were alerted that a pilot was down and that rescue be initiated immediately. The scramble was on. Forward air control aircraft were first to arrive. It was night, and once in contact with the downed pilot, the men in the air began the initial preparation for the first daylight arrival of the A-1s and jet aircraft that would suppress hostile fire that surrounded the pilot, enabling the rescue helicopter to make the recovery. Major Lee.
Well, after I ejected, it was really kind of funny. When an emergency happens like this, time accelerates to a point that you can't really say how long it took or what happened, but I had no control of the airplane to pull it out of the dive as it was starting to go into. And like I say, I decided to eject, and that's what I did. I reached down, locked the shoulder harness, and blew the canopy, and pulled the egress system, and as the chute snapped and opened, I could see the airplane falling away from me towards the ground. And looking around back, I could see the target area and see that I was close to it. I could see the river down below me and the lights from moonlight and whatnot. I was playing with my survival radio at the time when I hit the ground, which was kind of expected. I looked at the ground, I thought I was much higher than I was, and I landed up alongside of a hill that was, I guess, about 1,500 feet above the ground. And I think because of the fact that I was relaxed and working at something else was one of the factors that I sustained absolutely no injuries or anything in the ejection or the landing.
Major Lee found that he had landed close to a road and a nearby river, which he immediately determined was best to avoid. Thus, he climbed a hill for 2 hours until he reached the top, where he hid in dense brush. Every 15 minutes, he contacted support aircraft with his survival radio, letting them know his condition. He then relaxed and waited. According to Major Lee, he could hear enemy movement in close proximity to where he hid. And though he could not determine the number of enemy in the area, he did speculate that the enemy was anticipating the impending rescue.
3 truckloads of troops came in, and they also had it sounded like a Caterpillar tractor, and I assumed that they were repositioning some of the guns for better use when the airplanes came over at Sunup.
Major Lee felt confident of a successful rescue mission, but he had to remain constantly aware of approaching foot patrols that, while not coming close to his position, were still searching in the area.
If they had started up towards my position, I was going to head over the rise and get down into the valley, and it looked like there might have been better coverage over the hill where I was and head to this point. I discussed this fact, in fact, with one of the facts that came over, one of the male facts, and he said that not to stay where I was, because if I went on up to down the valley and back up the ridge of the other side, I'd be back up on the road again, and down the other side was the river again where it turned around, and I would be actually in worse shape than where I was.
Then daylight came, and with it, forward air control OB-10 aircraft, whose job it was to direct the striking jet aircraft to gun emplacements that threatened the rescue helicopters. 23rd Tactical Air Support Pilot Captain James Richmond was to arrive late in the morning, the last pilot to direct support aircraft to their targets.
When I arrived on the scene, I took over about 11:30 from NATO 4-6 Captain Pierce. He briefed me on the positions of the guns that he was aware of, and also on the survivor's position, how things were going. I took over from him. It worked real smoothly. We had fast movers coming and asked for all the ordnance I could get. I didn't want anything wasted. I wanted to get everything I could, even though the weather was bad. I found it quite difficult to work in the immediate vicinity.
Vietnam's team commander, 70 Lowly Major John C. Warwick, led the final strikes that eventually enabled the rescue ship to enter the area and remove Major Lee. For 3 hours, Major Warwick directed the silencing of the heavier weapons, taking direct fire himself, enabling his aircraft and others to destroy the gun emplacements.
When I got there, it was rather grim. A number of Sandy Lows had already been there and had to return to base because of lack of fuel during the operation of suppressing the guns. There was a number of guns, naval aircraft, and a number of those were continuously putting in strikes on the guns, and so far they kept coming up. They would destroy some, but others would always come up. During the night previous, the bad guys had run in numerous trucks, truckloads of personnel and possibly more equipment and guns. Consequently, there was a great deal of them all over the area and all through the bay from dawn until I got there at 1600 in the afternoon. Strikes were going in continuously, and the whole operation looked a little bit dubious because of the tremendous firepower of the enemy.
Then, Major Warwick directed the dropping of White Phosphorus in a 3/4 mile line between the now crippled anti-aircraft batteries and Major Lee. It was then the task of the rescue helicopter, a Jolly Green Giant 883, to proceed to the recovery point and remove the pilot. The craft was piloted by Major George C. Hitt of the 37th Aerospace and Rescue Squadron stationed at Da Nang, South Vietnam.
We drove right down the valley and right on the treetop and came over the last ridge, and there was a smoke screen from the big guns, and the survivor had popped his cloak and was doing an excellent job of vectoring his hand. He dropped right down on him, and my flight engineer directed me into the other direction that above him. It was almost like a picture book from that point on. Survivor's been on a hoist, survivor's grabbing himself in. I had to pull that out, taking him up. I bring him aboard, I said, bring him aboard, and from then on it was, he's aboard, let's get out of here.
The rescue was a success. The helicopter drawing small arms fire from the surrounding area, but not damaged. Major Lee describes his action during the rescue.
And I'd say that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life, and the Jolly Green Giant just went over the top of that ridge and slid down to my position. And then I could look up, see that PJ sitting there with the lowering that thermal penetrator to me. And I did come down, I think I got a little hurry. I made a mad dash for that thing. Grabbed it with everything I could hold on to, but I did get pulled up and taken out, and all I could say is thanks to the probably the most efficient teamwork on search and rescue mission. Which is standard for search and rescue mission. The teamwork is just outstanding.
And the tunnel was completed. An engagement